All right. Well, it's Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth. And it's almost like a twofer on Word of God Wednesdays, because not only do we break open God's words in the Old and New Testament, you know, using the prophets, or in this case, actually apostles, talking about Pentecost. But this segment, we look at the Psalms. We break in God's word open to Zephar Telachim, the book of sung praises, those 150 songs in the liturgical songbook, the hymnal of the Jewish people. And if you want to listen to this segment of the show, it's its own podcast called the Soulful Psalms. So you can go to EWTN Podcast Central, or you can go to like Apple and Spotify or SoundCloud. You can listen to each of these segments as its own podcast. All right. Well, today we're looking at Psalm 104. And the Psalms in this section, 103, 104, 105, 106, 107, they're pretty long Psalms. And these are foundationally historical Psalms, right? And these are also all in Book 4 of the Psalms. Book 4 of the Psalms. Psalms 90 to 106 are included in that. And again, a lot of these Psalms are historical Psalms, including this one. There's no way we're going to get through all this today, but we're going to try and get the first 12 verses. And what I love about these Psalms, particularly in Book 4, trace the history of salvation. You know, so it looks at what God's plan, it kind of looks at creation, how God has entered into his creation, how everything that God does is moving us toward his plan of salvation, bringing into relationship with him. And this psalm is no exception. And I love the way this one starts. If you got your Bibles, we're at Psalm 104. There's no prescript. That's the other thing for a lot of these psalms in this section, no prescripts. So this one just starts off with verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. What a great way to start. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, God. Just that simple acknowledgement of God being a blessing in my life. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That, and also, we are a blessing to God. Why? When we fulfill God's will, when we follow his commandments. Remember what it says in John, in 1 John. If we know that we love God when we follow his commandments. That's how we know that we are a lover of God, when we follow his commandments. So bless the Lord, my soul. When we follow his commandments, when we become the person who God created us to be, we are a blessing to God. Oh, Lord, my God, how great you are, clothed in majesty and honor, wrapped in light as with a robe. You know, I love that. And the beautiful thing here is just this idea of being wrapped in light. There's so many times in the Gospels where Jesus says, I am the light that is penetrating the darkness, right? So I love this, again, it's a beautiful anthropomorphic image, because God doesn't wear clothes, right? But he's wrapped in light as with a robe. You know, the light of his love is just emanating from him. Beautiful. I love this. Now we get to the creation motif here. You stretch out the heavens like a tent, right? So when you put a tent into the ground, you stretch it out, you put the pegs in, you look at the sky, you look at the universe, the stars, right? That's the heavens that he stretched out like a tent. That's his tapestry. On the waters, you establish your dwelling. And you make the clouds your chariots. You ride on the wings of the wind. So when it talks about the waters here, they're talking about the waters above the firmament. It's like where the rain comes from, right? Because rain falls down from the sky. So they're not talking about the waters of a river. In this particular section, they're talking about the waters of what they call above the heavens in the firmament. You make the clouds your chariot. You ride on the wings of the wind. You make the winds your messengers. Flame and fire your servants. They're looking at thunderstorms, for example, like, you know, the lightning and the thunder, earthquakes, volcanoes, flame and fire. You know, they're looking at these natural activities, not the natural disasters, but these different things that are happening on a fairly regular basis, and they're seeing God's hand in all of that. You set the earth on its foundation, immovable. From age to age, you wrapped it with the depths like a cloak. The water stood higher than the mountains, At your threat, they took the flight. At the voice of your thunder, they fled. So this is a referral back to Genesis chapter 1. Remember when it says in Genesis 1, when God created everything, there was the God and there was the Holy Spirit hovering above the waters, right? And then the waters receded. And then the land, it was the mountains and the springs, and everything rose up from that. And so this is kind of reflecting back on creation and looking at God's handiwork in his creation. The waters took the flight. The voice of your thunder, they fled. So that even nature obeys God. And so we should follow nature's example by obeying God in everything we do, by staying true to our nature. And that means it's just not the nature of an animal or a plant. We have an intellect and a will. And when that's aligned with God, then we can fulfill God's will in our life.
Well, and when I read this psalm, it reminds me of a song from my youth group days, but it was called Unshakable. And the idea of the song was that as God lives in us, he's the one that can move mountains and, you know, have the thunderous, you know, clouds and crazy lightning. But he's making us grounded. He's putting us in a place that nothing's going to rock us because, as if, you know, we're always told, you know, seek first the kingdom of God. Well, when things happen to us, his kingdom's not rocked by what's happening to us. So if we have him in our lives, we also should be unshakable.
Yeah, exactly right. You know, and Jesus talks about this, the man who built his house on the foundation, on the rock. The winds came, the rains came, and that house stood strong and firm because it was built on a foundation of solid rock. And I love what you're saying, Ace, because you're reminding us that we need to build our lives on the solid rock of faith in Jesus Christ, not the shifting sands of the culture,
right?
not with the shifting values and really ephemeral way that the culture approaches life. No, we have to be rooted in the depths of God's love. I love this. So verse 8 here, the mountains rose, the valleys descended to take to the place which you had appointed them. See, so everything in nature is where it should be, because that's where God intended it to be. And it reminds us, we should be where God needs us to be as well. You set limits they might not pass, lest they return to cover the earth, right? So the ocean doesn't overwhelm, like, okay, maybe you have a tsunami, but that's like, you know, that's caused by an earthquake. But normally the ocean does not creep into the land. Like, it has its own place, and then the land, the beach, and then the land has its own place. Verse 10 here, you make the springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow in between the hills. Again, as they're looking around, they're looking at nature, and they're seeing God's handiwork in all of this. And it should really make us stop and appreciate. Now, you know, I grew up in a city, and my only time I was exposed to nature was, well, one, at our high school, in order to get out of freshman year, you had to hike the New Jersey portion of the Appalachian Trail. So from High Point State Park on the New York border to the Delaware Water Gap, at the New Jersey-Delaware border, you had to hike that entire trail in order to get out of freshman year. It was a really beautiful experience, actually. And then I was also a Boy Scout as well. I'm an Eagle Scout, back when Scouts were really Scouts. So we were exposed to nature there, and it really helped me to appreciate the power of God's and majesty in his creation. And it continues the last couple of verses here. They give drink to all the beasts of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. There the birds of heaven build their nests. From the branches they sing their song. So this beautiful image here of God providing for his creation. God lets these natural processes occur so that all that he created can benefit from something else that he created. So the waters he created, which helps the birds and the animals and the trees and the plants. And what they do in return, you know, some of the animals will defecate. They provide for the soil. The plants give off carbon dioxide, which brings acid back to the air. It all works in this beautiful relationship. And so our lives should be that tied in with God as well.
For more on the Soulful Psalms with Deacon Harold Berg Sivers, check out Beacon of Truth weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and streaming everywhere you listen to podcasts.